Good morning. It's always a little intimidating to speak in front of people. It's even more intimidating when you're following up a powerful move of the Spirit. You're kind of thinking, wow, God just come and touch these people, and now I have to talk to them. And it's not even going to compare. But the Lord has put something on my heart. I'm really excited to speak with you guys because the Lord's really put something on my heart. And it was even kind of confirmed this morning with the prayer of repentance. But before we kind of get there, I gotta tell you a story that many of you are very familiar with. Just to kind of really brush through it, if you think about the Egyptians and the Israelites, the Israelites are slaves to the Egyptians. In the beginning of Exodus, we see that the people of God are oppressed. People of God are slaves to the Egyptians, and they are oppressed. And they're calling out to God, and God sends a man, his name's Moses. Moses, you know, is in the basket, discovered by the queen, is raised as an Egyptian, kills an Egyptian, and runs off. And on the mountain of the Lord, he encounters God in the burning bush, and he goes back, and he saves. The Lord tells him to deliver his people. And God sends 10 plagues. And the people of Israel see these 10 plagues, and they see some of the plagues affect everybody in the land, and some of the plagues only affect the Egyptians. Then finally Pharaoh releases the slaves and they leave. They come to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are chasing them at this point, and God splits the sea and the Israelites cross on dry land. And the water comes back and kills them all. And we come to a place in the story where they're sitting at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And the Lord comes. And this has always been really difficult for me because I've read this story many times. And I've heard this story spoke or preached more than that. And it's always like, wow, they saw plagues come down that God sent. They saw the sea open up and close. They saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. And the manna, and they're still just going after idols. And I've always thought, that's crazy. Why would you do something like that? And I've thought about in my own personal life, times when God has touched me. And I was excited. And I was passionate. And then how a week, a month, 3 months later, I could be in a place where I was like, wow, I'm not as excited as I was. I kind of lose focus. I kind of lose where I was. And I think, why? Why, God, why do I keep doing this? Why am I so weak that I keep ending up in these positions? And I know that many of you feel this way sometimes. Some of you may not feel that way at all. But we all feel the way that we look into the world and we see all the people doing all these things and we think, what happened? We look at the church and we think, what changed? We look at the New Testament church and it's so powerful and so pure, seeming in the book of Acts. But then now you look at the church and it's divided. And we think, what happened? Kind of setting up in Exodus 19, I have the title of this message is When Everything Goes Wrong. And in Exodus 19, we come to a place where God confronts Moses. And he talks to Moses. And in Exodus 19:3, we get a picture at a small conversation between Moses and God. And I'm going to read that, and it'll be up on the screen. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called out to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you up on wings, eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses has a time with God, and God tells him, you need to tell this to the people. Those are powerful words. It's recounting the story that I just summarized for you. They experienced it. It was real. Moses goes and he tells the people of Israel this, and they respond as we all would, or as many people would, in especially seeing that the Red Sea opening and closing and God speaking to us. In verse 8 of chapter 19, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. So we're at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And we have, the people of Israel have made a covenant with God. Everything that the Lord has said, we will do. We will not forget. We will be in covenant with him. We will be his people. We will be a kingdom of priests. And the next few chapters, we see Moses will go up to the mountain and speak with God, and God will give him things to say to him. The Ten Commandments was the first, and then laws. There's laws after laws after laws. Till chapter 32, Moses is still up on the mountain at this point. He had gone down and gone back up several times. And he's up on top of the mountain, and we are all very familiar probably with this story in Exodus 32. And I'm always nervous about preaching a passage that everybody's heard before. But a while ago, God really touched me with an insight that I haven't heard before. Or with an idea that I haven't heard or thought before. And it was really exciting to me. So I want to convey it to you guys this morning. In chapter 32, the first verses, verse 1, we read, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' So Aaron said to them, 'Take off your rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So the people took off their rings of gold and that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron proclaimed and said, 'Tomorrow shall be the feast of the Lord,'" using the name of God. "And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought a peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." What happened? This is always really disturbing to me, because I think, you know, it's mere chapters before, probably a month, maybe 2 months before, they had just made this covenant with God. And Now we see them not only making idols, but then practicing things that God had commanded them to do to those idols. And they're even saying that these are the gods that brought them out of the land. And as I was reading this, I was like, what happened? What changed in their hearts? What did they not have a hold of? And some of you might have noticed this before, maybe all of you have, but it was very impactful to me. Because in verse 1, when the people said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." That is a scary statement, because Moses didn't bring him out of the land of Egypt. God brought him out of the land of Egypt. And they even attribute that Moses, kind of implies that Moses is a god, because they said, "Up, make us gods," because this Moses has disappeared. This Moses is nowhere around. And so I was like, wow, they didn't even have the right idea at this point. Moses was the person they're following. Moses was their god at this point, it seems, in their hearts. They weren't following God. They didn't have a relationship with God. They had a relationship with Moses. They were following Moses. This kind of scared me a lot when I read this and I interacted with me, because I thought to myself, who am I following? What things am I following? Why am I here? Because sometimes the Israelites were doing the right things. They were saying the right things. They were following Moses. They were doing the offerings up until the point where Moses went away. They're doing all the right things. But then when that person, that thing that was so important to them left, they're no longer doing the right things. And today, when we look at the people around us, the things happening around us, we think, what went wrong? And we think in our own personal lives, times when times are good, and then times when things might be not as good. And our relationship with God may be not as good as it was. Did we lose sight of what God had given us? Did we lose sight of God in general? Had we been following God this whole time? Have we been following a parent, a friend, a mentor, a pastor, a job? And oftentimes, we can get so wrapped up in the things that are around us that we forget about why we're doing these things. But the exciting thing about this passage is although it feels like, oh no, what have I done wrong up to this point? The exciting thing is it's not the end. The story doesn't end with the Israelites getting destroyed as many people would have done if they were in that position. Moses talks God into not destroying the people of Israel. Then Moses goes down and really kind of his anger burns against the people, and he does many things against them. But the story isn't over there, because the people repent and God forgives. And now we're at a place now, all the way up past Jesus, that we have a greater ability to accept the forgiveness that God has given us. It's easier, in a sense, for us to receive forgiveness because we don't have to do the sacrifices and the rituals that came along with the Israelites had to do. Because Christ came and he died as the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate forgiveness of our sins. And it's exciting. Because when we get in this position, in this place, and we think, what did I do wrong? Where did I lose sight of God? Why am I in this place again? And we think of who we've been following, what we've been following. Are we really dedicated to the Lord? Or are we pursuing after a man, a thing? And to kind of transition into the last part, I didn't want to leave it at this. I didn't want to leave it at a place where it's like, wow. I feel, although it's exciting and it's good to understand it, you feel kind of hopeless because no matter what we do, we often fall into this place where there's a time period where we might lose sight of what we're doing and where we are. Because face it, we're all human. I know that I oftentimes find myself in a place, okay, why am I doing these things? Am I refocusing myself to the Lord? And we find a very beautiful passage. I think it's exciting, it's beautiful, it's I don't know how they do it. They are better men than I in Acts chapter 3 and 4. Come and kind of do a summary again at the beginning, right before we landed what we were going to be talking about. We see one of the most famous healing passages of the apostles. In Acts 3, John and Peter and John are walking to the temple, and there's a beggar, and he asks them for silver and gold. And Peter leans down and says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you." And he's healed. And then they go into the temple and they're preaching about Jesus. And it's like they just forgot that Jesus was just crucified and the leaders in the land are still angry and obviously are not a big fans of Jesus. And yet they are preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, which is a good thing. So we see that eventually they are arrested. And they're brought to the council. And the council says, "We really would not like it. We really don't like it when you talk about Jesus. And we'd really like it if you stopped. Otherwise, this is going to happen again." And right here is when, in many people's lives, we could lose sight of God. We could get distracted. We could run to our friends or family and think, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I know that oftentimes when something happens to me, like my car breaks down, or I naturally go to my parents most of the time to ask them for assistance or ideas or things as counsel, which isn't a bad thing. At the same time, my initial response should probably be going to the Lord. And I think that that's a small instance of what it could be, but there's things when we run into big issues in our lives, we often run to people. We run to the people that they're godly people. It's not even that they're bad people. We run to them for assistance instead of going to God initially. And I think that the response of the apostles and the people here is so encouraging and so empowering to me because they didn't lose sight of why they were doing the things they were doing. And in verse 23, we read, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chiefs and priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed.'" Verse 27, "For truly this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now," this is the part where they ask the Lord for something, "and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And today I think that God had placed a passage on my heart that he wanted spoken, because James was calling for repentance, saying that the Lord, it's a time of repentance, a time of repentance. And I was thinking about the people of Israel, and they had to repent. A passage that God had put on my heart to speak. It's encouraging to me. And in our lives, my life included, what areas of our life are we following a man? Are we following a thing? Are we just doing things in our life just because that's what we do? Have we lost sight of in our life who God is and what he has done for us? Because like the people of Israel, who saw many great wonders and signs that God had performed, they had forgotten what God had done for them. They had forgotten his promise. They had forgotten the covenant that God had made with them. And in our life, in my life, in the life, in everybody's life here, how have we forgotten? How have we, when everything goes wrong, lost sight of God? When it seems that everything around us is crumbling and we aren't running to God, but we're running to the people around us. And I think that we should all be encouraged. We should repent for those things that we've done. But we should be encouraged, because we have before us two examples. The people are confronted with an issue. And the first group of people, the Israelites, failed. They were leaderless, in a sense. They felt leaderless. They had no leader amongst them. And they turned to other gods. And they failed. Moses has abandoned us. What do we do? In that sense, they had failed. But then we see the apostles powerfully, after Jesus had risen, they responded. They responded in a way that was positive, that God had called them to. And so today, I want to ask you the question that I've asked myself many times. When everything goes wrong, when everything seemingly to go wrong, what do we run to? Because if we're running to a person, the body, we should run to the body for comfort. But if that's where we stop, we're not following what God has commanded us. We should be running to the Lord. We should be approaching Jesus, asking for forgiveness, asking for guidance, asking for God to touch our hearts. Because the only way through the Father is through Jesus. And ultimately, He is the one that saves us, forgives us, and calls us. So, Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit coming and touching our hearts during worship. We thank You for the ability to ask for Your forgiveness and to be forgiven, that we can dwell in Your presence. God, I pray that You would continue to touch the people, touch everyone in this room with Your presence. That You'll grant us boldness to speak Your word in the midst of everything that is going wrong. God, it's only through Your Son and Your name that we're able to pray this and say these things. We thank You and praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen.